Welcome back to another episode of the Statues Podcast. I'm your host, Danang, and with me I have my co-host, Crystal. For today's episode, it's a continuation of last week's episode, so if you're jumping into this episode, go back and listen to last week's episode, and we're just going to jump right back in. Thank you so much.
It's life, you know, like we have to, I don't want to use that word, like, or the saying deal with it, but it really is that you deal with it, and you just roll with the punches. That's it. And then, regardless, you know, if I will still love you, you know, work you, personal you. It's marriage. It's life. If no one can accept that, then you can't go and change their opinion about it. Because that's just who you are. And I don't expect you to change, you know. It would be silly for you to change you just because someone said something. Because if they love you, they will accept all of you, not just the side that they pick and choose.
I 100% agree. You know, it's like I said earlier in the podcast, I was lucky that I found someone that could accept who I was when we first started dating and who I was when we got married. But in real life, that drastic change, some people fall out of love very quickly.
Yeah. You know, like, when we first started dating, like, because the drastic change hit when my dad passed away. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when that side of you kicked in.
Yeah.
But I felt like you just did that because me and my sister, we needed someone that was more in touch with reality. So that's why you were like that. But then I realized more and more going through that, this was just a part of who you are as a person. But for me, it was hard because the foundation of our relationship at that time was based off of just the emotional side of you, you know, like the lovey-dovey side. So when you switched, it was hard. And I'm saying this also for people who are going through something or similar to what we have gone through and what we are going through, is that when I had to face that part of you, it was hard because it wasn't who I fell in love with. It wasn't who I started to like.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not that I fell out of love, but there were parts where I was like, well, okay, then I guess it is categorizing it as falling out of love, because I was questioning if I wanted to still be with you because I wasn't used to it. Like, I've never been around anybody that was like that.
Yeah.
So it was like, do I want to be with this person? Because it was so painful. It was so painful because you were always so happy when it came to work, but I felt like you were dissatisfied with being with me and just the way we were personally, that I felt like, okay, like maybe he wasn't in it anymore. He wasn't feeling it and he just didn't want it anymore.
And you know, like, this is the thing too, right? Is you're not wrong, right? Because who I was when we first started dating was just work me. So work me, you know, I was, like, I was kind of scummy. I was just, I could like someone anytime I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So it was like, okay, I had this girl here, I had this girl here, I had that girl there. Mm-hmm. And but when it came down to your dad dying, it was almost like a switch inside of my head where it was like, you're already dating her. What now? What do you do? And so that was when I was like, okay, let's put work me away. And, you know, let's just put work me to the side for a bit. We'll go for work, but I need more emotional help. I need to be there for emotional support. And as I started living with you and started seeing things a lot more, emotional me took more of an emotional hit, mm-hmm. where it was like, for everything that I was there for, all the emotional support for you and your sister that I was there for, I also took on a lot of more baggage, and I didn't know. And so that baggage turned into weight, and that weight turned into anxiety, and that anxiety turned into like 10 other things.
Mm-hmm. For us, I feel like, well, for me, talking from my side, it changed so quickly, because when you moved in, we were dating for like about two almost 3 years, like close to the 3 year.
I think we just like passed like
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, I think so, like 2.5 years. But we lived in two different cities, so we didn't have to see each other. And this, mm-hmm. and I know that a lot of people can relate to this, and this is something that I see too with people that we've associated with, is that dating and not living together, everything seems great.
Yep.
Because you don't have to see that person often. When you want to see them, you want to see them. When you want to go on a date, you want to go on a date. But you don't see their good, like, not good. Sorry. You only see the good when you want to see them. When you live together, though, you see all their bad habits. You see everything that is wrong with that person, or everything that you don't like in the, I want to call it, unrealistic expectation of what it is you're looking for in a partner.
Yep.
And so it hit different, because when you moved in, that was when I had to see you every day. I lived with you. You know, we ate dinner together. We spent every moment together. So that tough side of work, you know, and but then the personal side, it was like, oh man, like, this isn't who I thought you were, you know, like, because I couldn't differentiate that this was still you, just the other side of you. So I was like, I've never had to experience it, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like that side, because it was so foreign to me, and it hurt me so badly. Mm-hmm. it hurt me so badly that it got to that point, you know, where everything that you said hurt me, because it was just so real and it was just so honest, that it was like, where was the side where it was sugarcoated? Because it's like I said, that was the base of our relationship at that time.
Yeah.
You know, it was, everything was so sugarcoated. Everything was so happy. Everything was, it was good. Even though not everything was real, it was still good. So it took a long time for me to get to that point where I was accepting of it, because it was a struggle. It was a struggle, and this is something that I know a lot of people can relate to, is that it was a struggle, because it's like I said, this wasn't the person I fell in love with. And I tried so hard to keep that like image of you, where you were this happy-go-lucky guy who was, you know, just loving every moment we were together, you know? Just, it was a journey to get to here, you know? And regardless, I love you, and I appreciate everything that you've done for me and everything that you've gone through.
Yeah.
You know? But it was hard. It was hard to get from there to where we are now.
100%, right? Because where we were, I could play dumb and deaf. Where it was like, I didn't have to give two shits about your family's problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, whatever, I'll go play dumb and deaf. And with work, with my work life at that time, it was like, work life, I was just traveling back and forth having fun. So it was like traveling to Toronto, shooting a music video, shooting this, shooting that. Okay, go back home, rest. Oh, I'm going to go see you. Okay, I'm going to go see you. And then I'm going to go back to shoot and then go back home. So it was like things were separated. For me, everything was separated. Nothing was indulged in my life and intertwined yet. So with me, everything could be separated. But once your dad passed, it was like, okay, now I got to make a choice. And that choice, it involved me knowing a lot more. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I wasn't aware. I was already aware for almost a good year coming up. Yeah, because your dad started confiding in me and started talking mm-hmm. to me.
But there was a lot of things that happened too in that year because, mm-hmm. you know, I think we were dating already was it like 6 or 7 months before I told my mom that I was seeing somebody. But things were already bad leading up to that moment of when my dad passed away because, you know, like, and when I say that things were good because we were just, I feel like we were just, there was a part of us that was lying to ourselves that mm-hmm. things were good. You know, that things were just peachy.
We could just play it off.
Yeah, because even though those things happened, it was like, okay, it was new to us, but it's like, okay, whatever. You know, like, I don't live with her. I don't have to see her. I don't have to, you know.
We could just act. It was like, it was exactly. like acting, you know. It was like, mm-hmm. okay, when I get there, just put on this face, done. Mm-hmm. But when your dad passed away, I couldn't act anymore. It was like every day I was going to see her, every day she was going to see me. Okay, so how is this shit going to go? And as it went on and went on and went on, she didn't like it. I didn't like it. And it became more so a game of who was going to snap first. Yeah. And the thing about it was amongst her and I, we were the most outspoken.
Yeah.
You know, like, many times, like, I remember, right, is Asian parents have this stupid thing where they do where they bring up their own issues and then put it onto someone else. Yeah. And she had a lot of that, so she started doing that. And then I remember you telling me one time that she was thinking, she thought about something and then, like, I got pissed and your mom knew I was pissed. And then so your mom called me down to talk to me about it. And then she was like, oh, just, oh, you know, like, I'm sorry because this and that. And, you know, this happened to me when I was a kid. And I was so pissed that I was kind of just like, yeah, whatever. And then I walked away. And I knew at that point that the relationship that we had was going to be extremely difficult. Because she was stuck in her way, and I wasn't going to change my way.
Yeah, we're both very strong-headed people and very very opinionated and outspoken in our own way, good and bad. But I feel like, you know, when that happened, before our foundation was broken and had to be rebuilt, a lot of people have said it to us too, and I agree, is that we definitely would have broken up. Like,
oh yeah.
Without a doubt. Oh yeah. We would have broken up, and like, that was that, like, bye.
100%. I think if it wasn't for certain things happening at certain parts in our relationship, we would have broken up. Mm-hmm. Because every time the relationship was going to break up, something else is there to tie it together. Mm-hmm. And then we stay connected to that thing until, you know, something else came to tie it together.
It's like finding different anchor points to keep us together. Even though, I'm not going to lie, I still was expecting us to break up, even though we were together for like 3 or 4 years at that point. Like, there were times where I'm like, okay, like, I'm just waiting. It's just now like a ticking time bomb. Taking time bomb of when it was you were gonna tell me, hey, like, let's break up, like, I can't do this.
And that's why I think last year was the final straw, where it was like, I'm done with this shit. I don't deserve this shit. Your family has caused me more pain than I've ever felt in my entire life. Mm-hmm. So it was like, for me, where it was like, and it sounds bad, but it was more so just talking to you like, hey, I know that you're already going through shit in your life. So I can't deal with your shit anymore because it's just extra baggage on top of the baggage that I already have. So are you going to come with me?
Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, during that moment in the car when we talked about it, it was bad.
Yeah.
But then COVID happened and then I was stuck at home. And
then shit got worse.
Yeah. No. It's true. shit got worse. But when I was telling you, like, I couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, the topic of moving out.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that, when I told you about it, I was like, okay, I really want to move out. Like, I need to move out because I don't know if you're going to have, like, a wife at the end of the day. Like, so, you know, things were moving really quickly. You found a place.
I found a place within
3 days.
3 days of you telling me.
Mm-hmm. And then when you told me, hey, I think I found a place and I think this is it. And then it hit me. I was like, shit. Because, you know, with COVID, it's still being new and everything. Yeah. I was expecting maybe 4 months, you know, like, or at least up to, you know, half a year before I would move out, because I was only just starting to accept the fact that, hey, we're looking for a place. Then it came to having to tell my mom, and I hadn't gone to that place where I could talk to my mom, because that's what got bad. That's what made me want to move out. So it got really bad. And I told you, because at that time it was right before my reading week, because we moved that week. And then the week after was reading week.
Yeah.
Or like in like less than 2 weeks. And I said, hey, you know, like, I think I'm going to wait till reading week to move. And you said, and you got mad at me because you were like, hey, like, I found a place. Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting that long? And I had no excuse, because I'm like, that's true. I asked you to find a place. You found a place. And now all it is I need to move. And you said, okay, fine, fuck it, whatever. You move when you want to. But I knew that if I didn't decide to pick up my shit and leave, you would have been like, okay, let's break up.
100%, because I had a conversation with my dad, because I remember that conversation. I was so pissed at you. Because you told me that you wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, good. But finally, we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I thought we were on the same page until you said that. And that was when I was so pissed. I already put the down payment on the house. Mm-hmm. And I had already started moving shit. Mm-hmm. And then I was talking to my dad. And I said to my dad, if she doesn't come, then I'm not going to stay with her. Because I told my dad, once I leave that city, I'm done. I'm done with that city. That city has caused me more pain than it has ever caused me any fucking good. Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad was saying, just wait. Just wait. Mm-hmm. She will make the right decision. I told my dad, whether or not she makes the right decision, our relationship has been pushed all the way to the edge of the cliff now. Many times I've fallen off that cliff and she wasn't there to pull me up. I had to pull myself up. So this time I'm hanging on that cliff. And if she does not come, I'm going to let go. And I remember, like, my dad was just saying, just wait.
Yeah. And I didn't think I was going to move, because what was hard, and the reason why I told you I wanted to wait till reading week, was because one, everything was going by so quick. I didn't even tell my mom that we were looking for a place. Mm-hmm. But that's because me and my mom weren't on talking terms.
You guys hadn't been on talking terms for almost like a good month and a half at that point.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, what do I say to this person that I love, but I'm so angry at, that I'm moving, you know? Because I couldn't, straight up, I was being a coward because I didn't know how to say it. And at the end of the day, I think she knew that I was going to leave because she talked to me about it. Like, no, I remember because I was working myself. And then I said, and I remember telling you, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to tell her. I'm going to wait because I'm going to wait till she leaves. And then you come pick me up and I'm going to leave. And because I couldn't tell her, that's why I waited and I waited. And that's why you were so angry, because all I had to do was just tell her, hey, I'm moving. Because you told me before that, like, hey, you know, just tell your mom that you're looking for a place. But, you know, to her, it's like, okay, like, I'm going to tell her. But then 3 days after, I'm leaving already.
And this is one of those things where, like, I was so pissed at you, right? Because it was like, your mom already knew the situation between all of us was already fucking uptight. Mm-hmm. It was uptight. And it was like I was saying to you, was like, how much more abuse are you going to take before we going to fucking drown? Not you, we drown. And I was saying, and I remember this conversation because I was so fucking depressed. At that point, like, I remember how fucking depressed I was, that some days I would wake up in Mississauga and I would just drive until the end of the night and then come back home, because I didn't want to be in the town. Because all Mississauga meant to me was fucking pain. Pain left, pain right. And I was so pissed off at you because I was like, you're such a coward. Like, all I need you to do. You've told me many times not to be a coward. That is why I've done everything that I've done, everything that I have, and everything that I did. Because at that point, it was like, I didn't need to move. I was good with where I was because the rent was cheap. And I was just going back and forth from my dad's house back home anyway. So I couldn't just continue doing that. But the moment you said, let's move, it was like, great. We're finally on the same page. We can finally get shit going in our relationship. Like, yeah. Our relationship had been stalled for like 2 years at that point.
Yeah.
It was the same shit. It was, will you marry me? Yes, I will. Your mom saying no, then you saying no, and then I was like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
And I'd already gone through that pain twice, where it was like marriage meant shit all to me. Your family meant shit all to me. At that point, you meant shit all to me. Like, the only reason that, like, we stayed alive at that part was because of your baby sister, and that was it.
No, but that's why I think that's why I said that had I not left with you that day and I had waited for like another 2 weeks, during those 2 weeks, if I hadn't gone, we would have broken up. 100%. We would have not been together. And
because I wouldn't have come back.
No. Because I remember too, is that even when you said, okay, fine, you know, like when you're ready, because you said this too, when you're ready, tell me because I'm leaving.
Yeah.
But I know that you wouldn't have come back for me and you would have broken up with me. Without a doubt in my heart, I feel like you would have broken up with me that week if you had left and I stayed. Yeah. Because there was, for you, there's nothing there anymore. I didn't, if I had not gone, it was me showing you my hand that I wasn't willing to trust you and go with you and do this part of life with you. Because if I wasn't going to do that for you, and you've said this so many times to me, that's why when you said that, I said, okay, fuck it, I'm just going to do it.
Because
is like, that you told me that, like, if I wasn't willing to trust you, why am I with you?
Yeah, because for me, it was almost like, for me, I felt like I'd shown my hand to you for years. I came, I helped you. I helped your sister. I helped your mom. I helped your baby sister. And I'd shown you my hand for years. Mm-hmm. And then at that point when you said, yeah, let's go, and then you almost like backed out a little bit, I felt almost like betrayed. And I felt betrayed because you couldn't trust what I was trying to do, what I was going to do. Because your sister and your mom weren't even talking to you. They were treating you like shit. And I kept saying to you was, if they're going to treat you like shit, then walk out. Walk out so that they understand what the fuck they lost. And I needed them to understand that, because if they didn't, you wouldn't have wanted to be with them. You wouldn't want your mom. You wouldn't want your sister. At the end of the day, all I wanted was for you to have your mom and your sister. But it wasn't going to happen if you kept taking the abuse, and that at the end of the day, all the abuse led up to was anger. I needed you to go through the stage of anger, of sadness, and then of forgiveness. And that, yeah, everything was going to take time. But you know what? At least with time, it was going to heal, and you could have your mom and your sister back. And now look, now you can at least talk to your mom. At least you and your mom can have conversations.
Yeah.
And it's better than what it was before.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, it's much better than it was before. It's just... That's why I say it took us a lot to to get here, because I, without a doubt, we would have not been together if I had not left when I told you about, you know, moving out and all that. Had I not left, I wouldn't be here, you know? Well, I wouldn't have had, like, you.
I can say this, right, is... Every time our relationship got to that curve where it was like, do you trust me? And it was almost like, no. The only thing that held it back together was something like your baby sister. Mm-hmm. And that's what held the glue. But that last time, your mom had already taken your baby sister out of the equation for me. So I wasn't even seeing your baby sister. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, I had nothing. I had already lost everything. Losing your baby sister for me was like, yo, fuck this. I ain't got shit now. I don't have a reason anymore. A reason for life. A reason to stay. A reason to even stay with you. Mm-hmm. And that was when, like, that side of trust was really pushed, because now it was like, now you can't lean on the fact that if you say no, I'd stay. Because now if you say no, you know I would walk. Because your sister wasn't there anymore for me. You know, and... You know, it's hard. You and I, we've gone through a lot of shit in our years of dating up to marriage here. Mm-hmm. And that only this year did things slowly start to look up for us. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that much. It was just like a little peak, a little here and there. And shit will take time to heal. A lot of time to heal.
Mm-hmm. By no means, I feel like, are we... I'm not saying that we don't trust each other. Because we trust each other. I just feel like where there's still a lot of work for us.
Yeah.
Together. Because so much has happened in those five years. And then just, you know, that 1 year doesn't make up for those 5 years. We still have a lot to work on, mm-hmm. and, you know, to improve upon. But it feels good knowing that, like, we still made progress during this time. And it's like I said, it took a lot. For me, it was an emotional toll, just because, like I said, growing up, my mom's word was law. Like, that's just how it was, is that my mom's word was law. So that moment, it felt like I started growing up being with you, and I started having my own opinions and all that. But once I had left, and I thought about leaving, during that car ride coming to our place, I felt like I was being broken down, because everything that I thought I knew, my foundation of life was non-existent, because I felt like I was turning my back on everything that I knew growing up. Because
and that was the hardest part for me, right? Was when I thought about everything, I was like, okay, I know that if I were to take her, it's going to be hard, because for you, you've always only had your mom. And you've only had your mom and your dad. And then when your dad died, it was only your mom. But for me, the breaking of the camel's hump was when your mom left you and your sister. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was more of like, oh, so this is her true color. And I was like, okay, if this is her true color, then I can't let you and your sister just be on your own. Mm-hmm. Because you two have only known your mom. And so it was like, okay, what do I do? So I tried my best to give you guys family. So I would take you guys everywhere with me to go see my mom, my dad, to family gatherings, to Christmas, to Thanksgiving. And it became this thing where it was like, I got to finally see you guys happy. Now you guys had a structure built under the other structure so that this way, if anything were to happen, you guys fell on top of another structure. But then where I felt the betrayal was when your mom came back and all of a sudden it became like, oh, everything I did was for nothing. Mm-hmm. And then...
And you know, I totally get how you feel because, you know, like, for me personally, you know, when we started dating and then my sister started coming along to these family events, you know, all that, I felt like, because leading up to that moment, you know, they say you appreciate your family more when you marry into another family and then you are with that family. And you, in a sense, like, in like a spiritual sense, you've left your family, you know, like the family that that raised you. And so spending so much time with your family here, I felt like I didn't spend enough time with my mom, even though I did. I grew up with my mom, spent every moment I could with my mom. But for some reason, I felt like I didn't spend enough time with her. And Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, Family Day, all those holiday events, it felt like I didn't spend it with my mom. And so that's why when, like, the past year to year and a half before we moved, certain family events I didn't come to here. And I know that it made your parents sad. And, you know, your mom especially, it made them sad because they've welcomed us into the family, you know, and they were looking forward to having us there, you know, and to see us because we lived in different cities. But I chose not to go because I knew at the end of the day I was going to get married and I was going to leave with you, you know. And I didn't spend enough time with my mom, even though I did.
And that's why I think it got so difficult for us because we saw it two different ways, right? Mm-hmm. Where it was like you saw it as you didn't get to spend time with your mom.
Even though
you gave up half your teenage life to her, mm-hmm. okay, you gave up every second to her, mm-hmm. and that's why I was so pissed because it was like you and your sister stopped, going to these family functions, mm-hmm. and
for me, if like because it was that dilemma of. Which family am I going to pick? Because my mom felt neglected in her own way because we kept leaving to go and be with your family, but she's at home, like, sad. But at that point, my little sister was already there. So it was like, okay, now she's at home and blah, blah, blah. So if I felt like I was neglecting her, even though I wasn't, you know, because I spent so long all my life being with her. So it felt like now that I'm choosing certain family, not family, but certain like holidays, especially Asian holidays, to be with your family and then not be with her. And I was just like, oh man, like it was like, which one am I going to choose? Because I know that I'm going to be marrying into your family and I have to get used to that.
But this is like, and this is why I say it, like, we had different perceptions, right? Because mm-hmm. you had this perception that if you married, that, like, that was it.
But, the,
and,
you know.
And I, like, I kept saying to you and I kept saying to everyone around me, that's not the case. That's why I moved to be with you, so that mm-hmm. your family could be my family, too.
And I'm not saying this to blame your parents at all. Not at all, okay? Because they've changed since then. But when that topic came up of marriage, and, you know, we would go to, you know, your parents to talk about it, there was always this underlining message of, and I think your dad said that, but
and I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But I also know how my dad is, and mm-hmm. I also know how you are, right? It's because my dad speaks like me. Mm-hmm. You, and I don't mean to say this in a mean way, is you're a literal idiot. You look at things and you look at it as literal words. So my dad speaks like me, where it's like, once you marry into this family is yours. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at it like, oh, shit. Like, okay. But the way my dad and I see it, and because my dad has been through it too, my dad's mm-hmm. been through this fucking pain. This pain of your in-laws doing this shit, your in-laws saying this shit.
That's why your dad is so hard on you.
That's why my dad is fucking hard on me.
Right now, too. Like, with everything.
Yeah, and I get it. But it's like I said to my dad, was like, but the difference between my dad and I was that I moved. I left my family. I did things that in my family, we don't ever fucking do.
Not for the boys.
Mm-mm. Not for the boys. You don't move to your girlfriend's house.
It's shameful.
But I did. And my mom, my dad allowed me to teach me certain things. And that's where, like, our relationship got tough, was because I saw things for what I wanted to see things as. So for me, it was like, if you married into this family, yeah, your responsibilities are doubled. Yes, because we're not going to forget your family. But I knew that you saw it as, once I marry, my family's gone. Like, I don't ever talk to them. And that's why I was so pissed at you and my dad, was because it was like, you kept fucking seeing it as literal. And my dad kept saying it the way I would say it. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling my dad, that's not how we... When you talk to Crystal, I kept saying to him, like, when you talk to Crystal, don't talk to her like that, because she is a literal idiot. She looks at things so stupidly literal.
Yeah.
That you cannot give her analogies. You cannot give her this and that. She doesn't know how to interpret these things. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where it was like, when you and your sister stopped coming to these family functions, I was so pissed and I'm talking about, like, fucking pissed, like, I was going to leave your ass.
Yeah.
Because when your mom left for the 2 years, and then once again later when your sister was born, it was my family that gave you guys back the things that you lost. Mm. And it was almost like you and your sister walking away and giving them the middle finger.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, fuck. Me showing up alone was almost like, wait, why are you showing up and they're not? You live with them. And the only thing I could say was, because they're going to chill with their mom. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I'll come back. I would come back from the party. And you'd be crying because you and your mom fought. And I'm like, I knew this fucking shit would happen too. Whereas you and your sister were fighting, or you and your sister and your mom were fighting. And that was it. And as I always got so fucking pissed off, because I knew that shit was going to happen, and always happened. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always happened. Where it was like, I would come back and one of you guys would be crying, or one of you guys would be angry at the other, and you guys didn't do shit all.
Yeah. It got tough. It got tough, you know, because it's like you said, like, I take things literally. So that's why when your dad was... you know, when he would say these things, it was like, this wasn't what I wanted, you know, like, these are things that, like, I didn't want, but if I wanted to be with you, I had to accept that fact. And, but, you know, now, you know, being here, I think back, and it's really stupid. Yes. Well, 1000% stupid.
I want to, like, and I'll say this too, right, is you were stupid because you weren't willing to listen to what I had to say. Because every time I said something, you're like, no, that's not how it's going to go. That's not what they're trying to say. And it got so annoying for me because it was like, yo, I just need you to fucking listen. Like, stop talking. Stop talking. You talk like your mom. You just talk. You don't let other people talk. So when you did let me talk, it was almost like
annoyance. You were annoyed.
I was annoyed because it was like, fuck, I hate dealing with people like you. I hated dealing with people like your mom. And I hated dealing with people like your sister. So it was like, what the fuck do I do? And I had to live with you guys. That was the most incompetent part of the relationship. And I 100%, I want to say is, don't ever live with your fucking future in-laws. Don't ever fucking do it. Don't ever fucking do it. Especially when you have a good relationship with them already. Don't fucking do it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to live, move out with them. Move out with your girlfriend. Move out with your fiance. Move out with your wife. That's it. That's it done. Don't live with them. Because that was what fucking ruined our relationship.
Yeah.
Was all the stuff that laid behind the curtain that I couldn't see before. So at that moment, it was like when I lived with you, everything was pulled back. All the curtains were pulled back. I saw every dirt that was on the carpet. I saw everything.
Yeah.
And that was when everything got hard on you and I, because now it was like you were blinded by what you saw. I now could see what you were going through. You could never see it as abuse. So when I started telling you, no, that's fucking abuse. That's emotional abuse. And then it got to where it was like when your mom would get angry at you guys, then I would have to step up. Mm-hmm. And then it got to a point where it was like, now there were two dominating presences in the house. Mm-hmm. So she knew that she couldn't fight with you guys when I was there.
Yeah.
And then whenever your sister would fight with your mom, and then your mom would like fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Then it was like, okay, now I had to step in. And every time I stepped in, it didn't help because now your mom was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, that's why I say is like our relationship has so much trauma. It has so much things in the middle that is so fucked up that healing is going to take a long ass time.
Yeah. You know, it's going to take a long time because there is.
It's like you said, it's not that we don't trust each other. It's just a lot of shit happened.
Exactly. 5 years worth of shit will not be fixed. If you think it will be fixed, that's delusional, because it will not be fixed within a year. It will take time, and this is something that we're going to work on, you know, together. And I know we will get past this. Okay, and we will be stronger, and we will be better people.
We will get past it. It's just we both have our own individual traumas from the relationship, mm-hmm. that we need to deal with the individual trauma before we deal with the trauma that is in the middle that the both of us have attained from the relationship and from everything that has happened. Mm-hmm. It's just right now, you know, it's like you and I say, is that with things that have gotten better, things have also gotten worse. And so we still haven't even dealt with that part, that it's kind of just like, okay, whatever. We'll throw it off to the side. Let's just deal with the shit that we need to deal with right now. Yeah. And you know what? Like, eventually, I do hope that it will get better. But at the end of the day, my only hope is that we heal individually, and then that's it. Because, you know, it's like I've said to my mom and I've said to my dad and I've said to you many times, is that I don't need a relationship with them. I am who I am, and I will deal with who I am the way I am. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, all I need is for you to have a relationship with them. I need you to have one, because my mom never got one. And I saw what that did to my mom. I saw what that did to my dad. Mm-hmm. That's why when, you know, when people talk about my dad, I always say to them, now that I am an adult, now that I am married, I understand what my dad went through and the pain that he went through. My dad is a lot more emotional than I am. So I can only imagine, how he dealt with it.
He's still going through it now.
Yes.
It's not something that disappears. And
it's so traumatic for my dad.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't even talk about it.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, and when he does, the look on his face, you can tell that it's like, it haunts him to this day.
Yeah. And, you know, like at the end of the day, I think that's why me and my dad, we get along so well. It's because my dad knows that the trauma that he and I have gone through is the same. And that I think how we've dealt with it was two very different ways, but they've both ended in the same result. Well, I wanted to say thank you so much for listening. We're probably going to have to cut this into two clips because honestly, we've gone for 2 hours.
Honestly, by the time they hear that part, it would have already been split into two.
Yeah,
into two parts.
So if you're hearing this, this is the second part to the first part, and yep. I will have to make an outro for the first part. But I wanted to really say thank you. Today's podcast was a little more personal.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't think we were gonna get this personal.
But I think with being personal allows for people to find relatability a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we need nowadays, is that part of being able to relate.
Mm, but being comforted too. Like, this is, I found this more, more so therapeutic for us, because now we can talk about it and there's no room to escape, and we really can talk about it truly. But now we are able to help comfort. And it's like you said, being relatable to other people, but comforting so that they know that they're not alone in this.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, this is the second part to the first. So I wanted to say thank you for listening. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed what we talked about on this episode. Once again, it was a little personal, but with being personal comes a lot more relatability, and being able to allow for other people to know that fucked up relationships do work out at the end, and that it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay. It takes a lot of work, but you got to be able to trust in yourself and trust in your partner to make the right decisions and to be strong enough to deal with the repercussions of both of your actions. Please go ahead and follow us on Instagram at the Statues Podcast. Let us know you're alive. All the links are down below. Thank you so much. This is your host and co-host signing off.